Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 13 through 31. Jesus said to the crowds, "You cannot serve God and wealth." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard this, and they ridiculed him. So he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts. For what is prized by human beings is an abomination in the sight of God." The law and the prophets were in effect until John came. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is proclaimed, and everyone tries to enter it by force. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter in the law to be dropped. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
I had a fantasy this week about the sermon. My fantasy was that we would listen to the text, just like we've heard Pat read it so beautifully. We would hear Jesus' sayings, we would hear the story. I would stand up and say, "Let's not be rich fools." Amen. Go in peace. You probably want me to unpack it a little bit further. Those poor old Pharisees, they really got blasted by Jesus, didn't they? I almost feel sorry for them. I confess that I do not want to be on the wrong side of Jesus' sharp wit and his sharp tongue. You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of others, Jesus says to the Pharisees. But God knows your hearts. What is prized by human beings is an abomination in the sight of God. Ouch. And then he goes on to instruct them on the kingdom of God and the law, to say they are not mutually exclusive. The kingdom of God, the realm of God, proclaimed by John the baptizer, and then more fully by Jesus, is built on the law and the prophets. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of the letter of the law to be dropped. The law is the foundation. The ways of God are the foundation of all there is. What is Jesus getting at here? Those poor old Pharisees, they considered themselves very faithful keepers of the law, particularly when it came to ritual purity and food ties and Sabbath observances. And here's Jesus, this upstart rabbi from the sticks, always offending them, eating with the unclean, with sinners and tax collectors, healing on the Sabbath, and now confronting them about money. According to the writer of Luke, the Pharisees have subscribed to a part of the law set forth in the book of Deuteronomy, one of the five books of law of Torah. They have taken it to heart, but in the interpretation of this Deuteronomic law and theology that the Pharisees prized, God and wealth can live comfortably side by side. In this theological perspective, the word is clear: obey God, and they will be blessed. You will be blessed in war, in the marketplace, in the field, at home. Godliness is in league with riches. Prosperity is a clear sign of favor from God. That is life that is really life for the Pharisees. But Jesus is separating God and wealth. You cannot serve God and wealth. Why? Surely not because wealth in and of itself is a bad thing. It seems to me that the operative word to interpret in the Deuteronomic law that the Pharisees loved so well is obey. Obey, which has come down to us to mean rules, laws, checking things off of lists. Did I do this right? Did I do this right? But the root word in Hebrew, the root word for obey, means to hear, to pay attention. And in fact, it's that same word, shema, that we hear when the cry goes out, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one law." Hear, pay attention to the Lord your God. In the very beginning of the giving of the law in Deuteronomy, which is put in the mouth of Moses as the people are coming into the promised land, the writer of Deuteronomy has Moses say, "Do not forget to remember the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and into the land of plenty. And when your harvest is plenty and you have eaten your fill, do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is God that gives you the power to get wealth, so that God may confirm God's covenant that God swore to your ancestors, as God is doing even today. If you do forget the Lord your God and follow other gods to serve and worship them," Moses says, "I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish." So if the blessings of God come to those who follow God's law, who remember God, these blessings must be seen in the context with all the law and the prophets. And in all the law and the prophets, God continually tells us, I do not want your cheap sacrifices. I do not want your empty rituals. I do not want you sitting in the pews while you're simply waiting for the Sabbath to be over so that you can go back to the marketplace. I want you to pay attention and listen to me. By taking care of the widow, the orphan, the poor and needy, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the disenfranchised, and welcoming the stranger, the foreigner in your midst. So can we do this and be rich? Can we do this and believe that God has blessed us exclusively? Because, like the Pharisees, we follow all of the laws about ritual purity. Well, their laws were wash your hands at the right time, eat just the right foods, bring the purest animals for sacrifice, strictly observe all the prayer times and Sabbath. Our laws are a little different. Put something in the offering plate, at least something. Come to church regularly, whatever that might be. Can we do this and live according to our 21st century culture of fear and money? Constantly watching our stock portfolios, being so obsessively thrifty that we forget the joy of generosity, being more concerned with what we will leave our families when we die than what we are doing now for the family of humanity. Can we pay attention to and act obediently on God's commandment to care for the poor, the needy, the outcast, and just be good, rule-abiding, church-going people? My friends, this story is hard for us to hear. It's hard news because we are the rich man. We may not consider ourselves rich in comparison to the 1% in this country of the super rich, but the majority of us are in the 1% on the global scale. Yes, we may worry about our finances, and there may be bills, and how do we pay the orthodontist, and how do we put our kids through college, and do we have enough so that our children aren't burdened with us in retirement. But we are, for the most part, very comfortable. So the story of the rich man and Lazarus is really hard for us to hear. Here's the deal with the rich man and the Pharisees. They are not bad people. In fact, they are most likely good people in many, many, many ways, but they are blind and deaf to God's law. They are blind and deaf to the need that is literally on their doorstep. They do not see the big picture of what God's commandments are. They have forgotten to remember who gave them the power to get wealth. In Jesus' story, the rich man does not even see Lazarus, who is dying on his doorstep gruesomely, until suddenly there is a reversal of fortunes. They both die. The rich man is buried with all the ritual transitions properly and in a pure manner, and yet he does not go to heaven. It is Lazarus, the poor man, who was not even buried. His body is refuse that is taken away by the angels to be with Abraham. And now it is the rich man who is begging for just a drop of water. Even his torment has not taught him anything. It's not opened his eyes to really see. He still doesn't get it. because he asked Abraham to send Lazarus as a servant. Lazarus, go be my servant and bring me a drop of water. Abraham is not harsh with this man. He calls him child. He's just sad. Child, you have had many good things, and Lazarus did not. And now there is a great chasm between you. There has been a great reversal. And Abraham is sad about that chasm that cannot be crossed over. Who created this chasm? Is it punishment from God? I don't think so. I think the chasm is the blindness, the deafness. I think the chasm is created by not paying attention. I think unconsciously the rich man built it, and we build it too. You would think maybe the rich man would get it, and still he does not. Even when he tries to think of others, oh, please go save my brothers, tell them. His pleas sound a lot like manipulative whining. Abraham replies, they have the same law and the prophets that you had to listen to. Oh, no, but they will listen, Father Abraham, to one who rises from the dead. They will listen to a miracle from God if you send Lazarus as an amazing apparition to them with a warning. Did you hear that? Lazarus is still the servant. He's still supposed to be in service to this rich man. He is still not a person. Really? Says Abraham. No, my child, they won't. If they have not heard it yet, if their eyes are not yet open to the plight of the poor and their ears not open to the pleas of those begging for help, if their hearts are not open with compassion because God has already commanded them in the law and the prophets to obey by tending to those in need, to remember that God is the power behind their wealth, that they still will not see or hear or open their hearts, even if someone were to rise from the dead. Even if someone were to rise from the dead. Have we listened to that someone? The one who brings us life that is really life. It's not all about us and how we feel, contrary to what we are told on TV or the news or movies or the internet or even, God help me because I've read a million of them, self-help books. It is not even about us feeling good because we did help some homeless and hungry people. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening to the one who rose from the dead to remind us of the life that is really life by paying attention, obeying the ways of God? I count myself as one among those who have bought into our culture's love of money. I have done that. I struggle with that. And God forgive me. There is a great chasm between us and God if we do not listen. We must let this hard story work on our hearts and our souls. For it invites us to consider, what is real life? There is no denying that money, wealth, is a driving force, a powerful energy that fuels the commerce running, well, at least the external life of the world. And we all know that money can be used for so much good. And we all know, we all see how money is used so often for the destruction of the poor. As followers of Jesus, the one who rose from the dead, we must not forget to remember that wealth is the energy given to us by the power of God. It is not created by our own power. It is given to us to use for God's work. How will we listen and obey? How will we see what we need to see? How will we use our wealth that is not really ours, that we cannot take with us when we die? May we remember that we can only take with us the wealth of living in obedience, in paying attention within the heart of God's love. In the first letter to Timothy, that epistle, that letter is way back in the nether parts of the New Testament. That young minister, who is a protege of Paul, receives a lot of instructions for his ministry. And we hear the famous phrase, though it's usually misquoted, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. It really reads, for the love of money is a root of all, all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from their faith and pierced themselves with many pains. The writer goes on to give Timothy, that young minister, some loving advice and admonition for the people to whom he preaches and serves with. As for those who are in the present, who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything, everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that is really life. The question for us today is, are we listening? Are we paying attention? And are we willing to live the life that is really life? Amen.